Steve and Jill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about land business legal and tax corporation setup. If you listened to our show yesterday, we totally covered this topic, so we're going to change it up a little. Really want to know about land business legal and tax, please listen to yesterday's show. It's show 736.
Shoot, I want to talk about this more.
I know
really
you love
like
talking about
topic.
Taxes.
Man,
we
I've
set
been
it
waiting
all up.
For this.
Yesterday, we got into this. We went too late. We went over in time. And we decided that we're going to, in detail, cover today. How much mail is too much? Jill thinks you should send out 50,000 letters and just deal with it.
And jam up the system.
Jam the system up.
Yeah.
Be on the phone all day. And so I completely disagree with that.
Can we do both? Because people are going to be looking for this show. Can we do a little bit of recap and do that too?
Sure, we'll recap. I'll recap in just a few sentences your legal situation, how you should set this all up after you've done 10 deals.
Thank you. That's
the theme of this week.
I'm happy now.
Before we get into that, let's take a question posted by, as if this isn't confusing enough, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Isn't that the greatest thing in the world, by the way, when a woman says, I'm happy now?
It really is.
I'm surprised you didn't stop and go, wait, but you can also play this back often if you want.
That's a whole different topic.
I'm happy now.
What do you think the problem is
with
a lot of women?
Oh, they're unhappy all the time.
I know. What is it?
That's just their DNA,
I know.
Guess.
It's so they learned how to do it?
Yeah.
They're born that way.
Yeah, I think there's people that are born that way. They're born that they're just never satisfied. Kind of like you're born high maintenance. I've seen that.
You know how we have all this experience buying and selling land and houses and stuff? Mm-hmm. And we have a show about it?
We do?
I secretly... Yeah, it's a show together.
Oh,
actually,
nice.
It's just a daily meeting that we have.
Cool.
6 or 7 people that listen to the show,
yay.
They say they like it.
Oh, that's good.
I feel I'm qualified from a child-rearing standpoint to really assess the situation. And so when I'm walking around in public, I see little kids and I can tell.
Which is that?
That kid's going to be a mess.
Oh, totally.
That kid's
going to
do great. That kid might be president.
I watch it with my brother because he's got all girls. And it's the funniest thing on the planet. Because I'll never forget when number 2 was like 2. And all I could think of was, I can't wait until this kid, my niece, asks for the car keys at 16.
Yeah.
Because at 2, I can see the conversation. And it's going to be awful.
Yep. You know, some kids are real little. They sit in the stroller and they're just down in the dumps.
Yeah.
And some kids are sitting in the stroller laughing and looking
right.
around. That's how they are their whole life.
Happy-go-lucky. They don't really care.
They don't change.
I mean, this rolls off their backs. You take something away, you hand them another one. They're like, okay, this is even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some
kids, have a good attitude.
You take one away, they don't care what you hand them. They want that back.
Yep.
And it's a disaster.
Oh, I hope the people who have written books about this.
I think there's a few.
Are there books like... I've never read any of these books. Like, this is what you really need to know before you choose to have children.
I haven't read any of those books because by the time I got those books in my hands, it was too late.
There's babies in your hand?
Yeah. It's too late. But, you know what? That's what's so funny. There should be, instead of what to expect when you're expecting, it should be what to think about before you go there.
Or what are you thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you expecting? Because whatever it is, it's not what's going to happen.
Yeah. Should open it. The page 1 should say, well, it's too late now.
Right. And the rest of the book is blank for notes.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Okay. Back to what our question. Aaron asks, I know Steve is not a fan of negotiating price. That's an understatement.
Aaron's obviously one of our 6 listeners.
The offers are the price. Send enough mail to qualify leads and you'll get plenty at your price. In my county, that hasn't worked so far, at least at $500. There might be something there. Someone recently came to me saying that they'd sell their 5 acres for $5,000. Lower end comps suggest selling price of far more than $1,000 an acre, at least double, if not more. But this particular property's assessed value is $5,500. I know assessed value is absolutely not market value.
Good.
But has anyone had any issues selling property at significantly more than its assessed value?
No.
I feel like that could be an issue when trying to sell to a buyer. They seem, them seeing an assessed value of approximately half of what they're paying.
It's not at all.
If I can't sell for more than the assessed value, and ideally at least double the assessed value, then I can't buy the property. Anyone have any experience selling for significantly more than assessed value?
I have a lot of experience doing it, and it works.
Me too.
Should we keep going on answer this?
Yeah, keep going.
Please hear me if you're in our group and you're listening to this show. $500 for a 5-acre property is dead. That happened in the 90s, and hopefully you're sitting around saying, "What are you talking about? I just bought a property for $500," and I hope that's the case. But I'm telling you, the most successful people in our group are getting very creative about where they buy real estate, and they're looking at attributes and features and things like that, and justifying why it's so fantastically that why the property's fantastic. And why the price is fantastic compared to the other stuff in the market. So buying it rock bottom, scrape in the bottom cheap, and then selling it for twice or three times what you paid is not how you're gonna accumulate a tremendous amount of wealth. Buying it at this, so the deal you just described here is perfect. 5 acres for $5,000. Comps suggest way more than the actual price, at least double or more. That's how you start to accumulate some wealth. We have tons of members that just do 10, 15 deals a year, and they make $10,000 or $20,000 a deal, and then they go about their life. That's a lot. It's $150,000 to $250,000 a year, not for doing very, very little work. So, and that's where the real dough is. The $500 an acre thing, just so everyone knows, came from an example that I used all the way through Land Academy 1.0, the cash flow from land program. And so in 2.0, which I haven't released yet, I'm recording right now, I really go into this topic in detail, and it's very important.
I think, yes, I was going to say, too, I think Aaron just came in too hot, and came in too low, and that's why. When you're saying it didn't work in that county, well, that's why. You get a little more creative, like you're saying, Stephen, and really look at the comps. You know what? If you sent out, instead of sending all these offers out at $500 and you sent them out at $2,500, you probably would have got a good response.
To this day, and we teach this, when you go to price a mailer, it's not to see how cheap you can get it, because you'll put yourself out of business.
It's true.
The whole point here is to take a look at what's available, what's for sale. This is land now. It has nothing to do with houses. Take a look at what's for sale. If a 5-acre property, all of them are hovering around $10,000, then you want to be in there for five, four, maybe three. But you don't want to, $500 an acre is just going to make a lot of people, $100 an acre is just going to make everybody mad.
No, once you talk, what's true, I think it's something that we get hung up on a little bit as investors looking at this assessed value, and it drives me crazy. Want to tell everybody, just ignore the stupid assessed value, because it's behind. B, it's not accurate. If you're lucky, in a perfect world, we all want our assessed value to be a third or less of what our home is really worth, don't you? Because then you're going to pay less taxes on it. When you put on an addition, are you going to run down to the assessor's office and say, "Oh, you need to up my assessed value because I just put an addition on and I threw a pool in there"? No, you're not going to do that.
If you do that, film it.
Oh my gosh. That's the last thing. So if it ever comes up with your buyers or your sellers, once you explain that, they go, "Oh yeah, you're right. Duh. I want to keep my assessed value at that," right? You want to be under the radar on the assessed value. The market value is really what this is all about.
Yeah, and if you pull a tax roll and it says market value on that, because almost everybody does that now, every county, just throw it away.
Right.
It's not worth it. You have to do your own work, mm-hmm. or the pricing won't work.
Exactly.
By the way, everybody at the county is on your side. Everybody thinks when you walk into the county, it's like walking into the police station where they're everybody in the county wants you to pay.
Pin something on you. Like,
everyone in the county wants you to pay as little taxes.
You need to confess to this. No.
They want you to pay as little amount of taxes as you possibly can. They really are truly on your side. That's been my experience like 99% of the time.
Because I think they're more interested in you paying some taxes. That's the whole point. If you consistently pay less taxes and they don't have to chase you, then they love you.
Right. Judges are like that too. You can, people don't know this, but you can legally contest your property tax value and take it to a judge. And they'll almost always rule in favor of you reducing your taxes. Mm-hmm. Today's topic, well, it used to be land, business, legal, and tax, corporate setup, which we really extensively covered yesterday in episode 736, based on the question. So, well, this is the meat of the show. I'm going to cover it in a few sentences here, and then we're going to talk about, should you send out a pile of mail? I mean, tens of thousands of letters all at once, and just quote-unquote deal with it, like Jill thinks you should do, or should you methodically eke it out and do and be smart about it?
I think there's a sweet spot, so we'll talk about that.
Yesterday, a very bright member of ours said, all right, great. Great, I've done 10 deals. What do I do now from a legal and tax and a corporate setup standpoint? This is my suggestion, and please don't overthink this. Number one, it's going to change. As you're, every year, it's probably going to change. So you don't just set it all up and it's over. Pick a state. I'm going to suggest Nevada, where there's no state taxes. Get an LLC. Research how you want to set the whole thing up and start putting property in that LLC, buying and selling it. Make sure you have the right accountant. Jill was yesterday said very clearly, you're going to outgrow your accountant just like you outgrow your children and everything else in your life.
Hopefully not your spouse.
You know, as much of us hate it, we have to get, you know, a better car when it wears out. It's the same situation. So you want to start really thinking about this stuff after those 10 deals. And Jill, rightfully so, yesterday said, you may not, you know, after your 10th deal, you might think this is just for the birds. Mm-hmm. This whole business is for the birds. I don't know why, you know, maybe you don't like making money.
Right.
So, all kidding aside, we really did cover this in a tremendous amount of detail yesterday. So today's real topic is, should you send out tons and tons of mail, 50,000 mailers all at once, and just deal with it and try to get all those deals done? Or should you just send out 2,200, 2,400, 3,000, 10,000 a week?
You know I mean both, but I just don't want, I want just to make, find the sweet spot. So that's what I wanted to talk about with you. There's a point where you're babying yourself and you're only upping 100 mailers a month.
100 is silly.
That's my point. Okay. And I've seen this. This is why I want to talk about
this. You should never send out 100 mailers.
Let me tell you why.
Never.
I happen to run more closely than you because of the operations. I'm on the operations side of this. Offers to Owners, our direct mail company. For anyone who doesn't know what Offers to Owners is, it's a company where you can go and upload your data set, upload your mail document, your Word document, excuse me, of your template. We merge it for you and we put it in the mail the same day. It rocks. What is interesting is I see people doing it right and I see people doing it wrong. I see people sending out, I'm like, 300 mailers. I'm like, well, what is that going to do? You know, that it's much better to save it up and do, you want to do a minimum of 1,500 units at a time, gauge it, and then
it's a minimum.
Minimum. And then up your game depending on what you can handle. So maybe 1,500 mailers, maybe you know you could handle 2,000 mailers. And as you get this going, you should be in a system, 2,000 mailers, maybe it's once a month. Okay, now 2,000 mailers every other week. Ooh, maybe now it's 2,000 mailers every week. You should be pushing yourself and not turning it on, turning it off, turn it on, turn it off, especially because you're now over 10 deals. You understand this. And I want everyone to push themselves a little bit more than they are, because you guys got this. And I want, get out, just get over it. When the money, because the more you push yourself, the more money you're going to make, you can afford some extra help, and that's what's going to push you ahead. So that's my argument. I don't really want to go bananas.
So the girl for me.
Oh, thank you.
I mean it.
Do you know what's funny about this? I know in my heart you have done this with me on other things, and that's where I'm getting a lot of this from. You have pushed me. You have, in a very healthy way. Stephen, I may not have said it at the time, but you have pushed me and said, you know, knock it off. And the phone's going to ring. Hold on to your hat. I'm like, all right, here it comes. You know, so that's my speech.
I mean, what Jill described to do is exactly what you should do. Exactly. You never want to send a 200 or 300 unit mailer out. And you do not want to send out a 50,000 unit mailer at once. I'm telling you right now, not even our level.
I mean,
here's what happened. I just got done with this 28,000 unit mailer. And I broke it all up into four, into 2 months. So it goes out every Wednesday. So I process all the data in the mail, all that stuff in the same time. We're going to eke it out. And it's for a very, very specialized product type. And because I really believe that we're going to get a massive return, how and why we're doing this. But here's the kicker. Here's the issue. It's not so much that you can't handle the acquisition volume. Handling acquisitions is not that hard. And if you have to, you can sub it out to escrow people. And there's a lot of ways you can, you know, you can put people off the acquisition. You can put the deal off and say, I'm happy to do it in 2 weeks. We're swamped right now. That's fine. You can't post property and get it, properly sell it. It gets jammed up there for us. Unless you have an automated sales process. And that really, that one thing yields how much mail we send out. Jill and I are at a point in our career where we don't have issues selling anything. Almost 90% of the time it's pre-sold before we even buy it. I can look at it and spend 5 seconds in Parcel Fact and say, this is going to sell the first 10 minutes we post it on the online, or I know exactly who's going to buy it already. So work it backwards, just like everything else.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. This is a good topic, even though we're totally off topic. But
no, we're not.
Okay, thank you. In an effort to automate, because we've all done over 10 deals here on this show, is it easier for you? I think this is the new way to do things, like what you just did. Pull a bunch of data at once instead of sitting down once a month and assessing your counties at this point and assessing. No, seriously.
I know. But it sounds like a nightmare.
But doing it once a quarter, like you just did, pulling down where you're going to have 30,000. You've narrowed it down to 30,000 units, and then you just have the mail scheduled to go out once a week with those 30,000. Then when it's next quarter, you do another 30,000, another 30,000. I love it. That's the best way. I know we're kind of dipping into next week's topic, which is for people who've done over 100 deals.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Okay.
This is actually worth spending time and talking about, because a lot of thought goes into this. There are some people that do really well with chaos. I'm 100%
really?
Serious. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait.
Hold on a second. Okay. Just let me describe this. There are some people where the phone just never stops ringing. And every single time they turn around, it's some kind of validation thing that goes on in their head that somebody's calling them to say, I want to sell you the property, or I want to buy it. And they just love it. Like a call center. Their house is a call center. I'm not one of those people. I want to wrap it up. I'm the kind of person who, if 20 calls come in, we know we're going to close 10 deals or whatever the numbers end up being. Each deal you're going to make 10 grand on, I know I'm sitting on 100 grand. Let's go to work. That's how I operate. And I think I don't think that's the rule. I think it's the exception.
Yeah, I don't operate that way.
I know you don't.
Now I hear what you're saying. I'm the chaos person, I guess.
I think you're far from chaos, but I do think that you really get a lot of juice out of closing deals. And I used to be like that. I used to be like, oh, this validates this business model. But I'm so, that's what happens when you get older. It's like, oh, I validated it. Now I'm going to be smart about it, because I want to make $5 million this year selling land,
right,
and $12 million selling houses, and $14 million doing mobiles, which is really the stuff I look at all the time.
Hold, please. So who's to say that you're not a little bit chaotic? You just do it a little bit differently.
I shifted the chaos to your staff is what happened.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. And we love you for that. So hold on a moment. So let me back up here. So as the operations person, I see what's going on. It's a little bit of both. Your goal is to systemize, we both of our, each line of revenue and keep adding line of revenue. So there's still always a little bit of something new coming along.
Always.
You're never going to sit back and go, well, this is all the products I ever want to release. And this is all
no, that's
the
never
stuff.
Happen.
See, there we go. So
never.
That's what I thought.
I'm four companies ahead right now. Let's call it four revenue streams ahead.
Well aware of that.
That's a good time to bring this up. There are endless revenue streams in real estate.
Oh my gosh.
There's not only rural vacant land, which we all love and understand, and that's what this show's about. There's infill lots all over the darn place.
Yep.
Infill lots.
Just
There's mobile homes, but not just one type of mobile home. There's grandfathered in mobile homes where you can slap by an old mobile home because it's been there before 1986 in California. I think it's 86, maybe 76. Rip that thing off of there. It's not worth anything anyway. Plop another one down, triple your money. Make I'm doing a whole program on this. You can make $100,000 a unit. Eat with your eyes closed. Yep.
I just had a conversation with a woman a week ago. Her name is Katrina, and she is now a member, and she's in a state that I'm not going to say, but I happen to know is an awesome state to do infill lots.
I mean, where is a state that's bad? I've never seen a real estate market in my life.
That's not bad, but this one's a good sweet spot. I just happen to know the pricing is a good little area and stuff, but anyway.
Infill lots are real easy to sell.
Although you can do it everywhere.
We are off topic now.
You are. Yep.
Please don't send out 55,000 mailers unless you're an addict and you just love talking on the phone and not doing deals.
Or you have the staff set up and you're doing over 100 deals and you just pawn it off. You just hand it to them.
We're like that, but we still don't do it all at once. Why hurt your staff? Because in the end, you know what's going to happen? You're going to let a lot of deals are going to go through the slip through the cracks. But it makes you feel good at the time. It gives you all kinds of sense of personal validation, if that's what you're into. I personally like money in my bank account.
Agreed.
Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss land, business, marketing, and sales.
And we answer your questions, should you have one, posted on our free online community found off of landacademy.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. We got to stay on topic here.
Well, you know why? Because legal and tax stuff's boring.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's why, even though we're covering it, it's important. I understand. You and I will do everything we can to not talk about it, clearly. I'll start bringing out recipes here next show.
Hey, Jill, what else don't you like to talk about?
What?
I want to know.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what do you avoid talking about? I already know the answers to all these questions.
My feelings. Seriously.
Okay, well, you get a gold star there.
I hate that. Let's talk about...
Every time
about,
we have this show, I'm like, maybe this is the perfect woman.
I hate this. I hate talking about my feelings. I hate talking
like
about
either.
Legal stuff. I hate talking about, you know...
Taxes.
Planning and wills and all that stuff. I hate it. I will avoid it.
Recently, I can't stand talking about IT. At all.
I'm okay with that.
I have no patience for it any longer.
Well, I'm okay.
I mean a website piece of this stuff.
I understand. Well, you know why I'm okay with it right now? Because now I have people that can get stuff done. I need to knock on something. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.